Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
We've been in a series talking about developing godly habits found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, which says, and if you develop godly habits, that's really the best thing. Physical habits, physical training, like all those crazy people out there running a marathon right now, good on them. They're going to have great health and good stuff. It'll last them a couple of years. However, what you're doing here, Scripture says, has a benefit not only in this life, but also for all of eternity. And so it's what we're here working on is developing godly habits. We've been talking about reading our Bible, prayer, and fasting. And this morning we'll be talking about a habit of generosity. And I could go about this one of two ways. Either I could talk to you about generosity or allow you to be inspired by somebody who lives a life of generosity. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. You'll be hearing from Eddie Morales. I call him Pastor Eddie because the entire country of Nicaragua is his ministry, and that's what he's given his life to do. I was watching a video several years ago when a lot of the immigration stuff was kind of hot in the political scene, as well as the refugee crisis that was going on, the political scene that's still going on now. And there was this guy who was kind of talking about what is the answer to immigration and to refugees. And he said pretty much America has taken two political stances. One is to open up the doors and say, everybody come here. And he said the problem with this is it's unsustainable and it's not workable because we can't possibly have a billion people come into the country and care for a billion people. So the other strategy people have is, well, let's just bring the best and the brightest here to America because those are people who can help us. And he says that's a very arrogant, self-centric idea that we're just going to have people come here who can help us. He says, what the world really needs is for the best and the brightest, if they want to come to America, to come here, get educated, and then go back and have a heart for their country to reach out to the people in their country and bring them out of the cycle of poverty, to help them with education, help them with nourishment, help them with job training, so that way, instead of having to go somewhere else to find a better life, they can find a better life right where they're at. In short, what that video was talking about is we need about 10,000 people just like anywhere else. Because that's exactly who he is and what he has done. He's got postgraduate degrees in business, in social management, and in education. And what he's done is he has gone back to Nicaragua to continually help the people of Nicaragua. He started working for the United Nations with their feeding program, and then an organization called Orphan Network, which actually is based here in Virginia Beach, found him, brought him, and recruited him and said, can you help us with our mission? Because what we want to do is exactly in line with what your heart and your passion in life is. And so they got together. And what Orphan Network does is it tries to connect churches like us, Essential Church, with churches that are in Nicaragua, who have a heart to reach people and break the cycles of poverty in Nicaragua. And so what we do is every year, you may not realize this, but when Pastor Chris gets up and he says, return back a portion of what God has blessed you with, and that will go to further ministry here in Virginia Beach and around the world. He's actually meaning that. We have made a commitment every year to send $20,000 at least down to Nicaragua so that we can feed almost 300 children every single day of the week. In addition, we also support a ministry that supports that ministry. So we do Stop Hunger Now, and every year how many of y'all have done Stop Hunger Now? Right. We're basically what we do is we come together, it's a lot of fun, we rock out, we walk out the fun old 80s, 90s music, we package up rice and vitamins, we put all this little package and those get sent around. 10 shipping containers every year go to our partner network there in Nicaragua to feed the children. What we then do with the feeding centers, we take those packets from Stop Hunger Now, we add to it extra food, so we have even a bigger meal for the kids, so they can eat even more food. We also have an environment there. It's a feeding center that you all built a couple years ago. You sent money down there to hire laborers in Nicaragua to build a feeding center where they can do education, job training, as well as feed the children. You're going to see a video in just a minute with lots and lots of beans, a few kids who like to photobomb. But you'll also see the extra food that they add to. And if you look really closely, you might even see some of the Stop Hunger Now packets in that video. And we do that because we want to be a part of what God is doing throughout the world, not just in stopping the issues of the cycles of poverty, not just adding job training, but sharing with these children that this life is about nothing more than loving relationship with Jesus Christ and joy for all eternity. And so in just a moment, I'm going to show you a video that Pastor Rudy and Pastor Arelli just made this past week, and they sent it here to us via email. And this is a little video they filmed just for you. Now, I made a mistake with it, and that was I didn't tell them to put the translation at the top, so it's at the bottom. So you'll just have to figure out what the last word is, because those darn drums are blocking it. And by the way, because our projectors are not cooperating with us, we had one broken last week. As you notice, we fixed it so well, we broke the second one. And so if you are sitting here and here, if you do not know fluent Spanish, you will not know what's going on in this movie, in this video. So just move this way if you could. And if you don't like the way that people smell, look, or whatever, you can move right back to where you were after the video, because it's something you won't want to miss. And then after the video, Pastor Eddie is going to be sharing with us, and his generosity has led him to leave his wife Claudia and his son Mateus back home to spend 10 days here in America, going around in churches just like ours, sharing with us the vision of what Orphan Network does. So if you could, turn your attention to the screen, and then give your undivided attention to Pastor Eddie after this thing.
Saludos y bendiciones, hermanos, allá en la Iglesia Esencial. Soy el Pastor Rudy Palacio, Pastor General de la Iglesia La Roca. Y en esta ocasión queremos agradecerles a todos ustedes por la gran colaboración que han dado por estos 5 años a nuestro ministerio. Hemos sido bendecidos por Dios en todo este tiempo y hemos visto muchos frutos. Hemos visto muchas almas ganadas para Cristo, muchos niños siendo restaurados y conociendo el camino del Evangelio. Personalmente quiero agradecerle en nombre de nuestra iglesia, de nuestra congregación. Ya tenemos 12 años de que empezamos nuestro ministerio y nuestra iglesia, y por 5 años ustedes nos han estado apoyando, nos han estado ayudando. Su ayuda y su aporte ha sido de gran importancia para nuestro ministerio. Nos han ayudado a alcanzar nuestras metas y sobre todo nos han ayudado a cumplir nuestra visión en esta ciudad. Así que agradecerles de todo corazón por su colaboración que han dado por este tiempo, y estoy aquí con la pastora Arely Cárdenas, encargada del Ministerio de los Niños, y ella les va a hablar un poco sobre todo lo que hemos hecho en estos 5 años.
Agradecemos su ayuda en estos 5 años porque hemos crecido como personas, nos hemos sensibilizado ante la necesidad de los demás, de nuestra comunidad, hemos reducido el nivel de desnutrición en estos 5 años y estamos muy agradecidos por la colaboración, por la donación especialmente de útiles escolares. Hay niños que no estaban en la escuela y fueron integrados a la escuela a través de esa donación porque no tenían útiles escolares. Estamos planeando en estos momentos el campamento de niños a final de abril. Lo vamos a realizar y hay una gran expectativa de los padres, hay una gran expectativa de nosotros y de los niños también, porque los campamentos de niños se recibe, se aprende, se comparte, se abraza, se juega con los niños, que es algo muy importante.
Entonces, tienen una familia en Nicaragua, la Iglesia La Roca es parte de su familia, y saber que el Señor les va a bendecir a ustedes por el hecho de darnos a nosotros. Nosotros somos una buena tierra y todo lo que siembren por nosotros, el Señor se los va a multiplicar. Así que les bendecimos, oramos por ustedes para que su ministerio también crezca como el ministerio nuestro también ha crecido. Así que de todo corazón les bendecimos y que el Señor les bendiga.
Las tinieblas, Cristo exaltado. noche. Alguien dice amén. Tómele la mano a alguien.
Great. Good morning. How are you doing? I was running. I guess you were running this morning at the marathon. No, okay. I said to some friends, I think I should do that one sometime. I've been coming almost every year and around this time, and every time there is a marathon. So maybe it's God telling me, Eddie, go run. Well, it's so good to be here. And as Pastor Rudy said, you have a family in Nicaragua. La Roca family is your family. And I say, I have a family in Virginia Beach. Yeah, Central Church is my family. And it's so good to be back. It's so good to be here every March. Yeah, God has blessed me and to come and share what God is doing and to understand to know that you are part of what He is doing. You know, you are God's hands and you're God's feet to bless those children and to change the life of those children. So this morning I want to talk a little about experience. No, and I think it has to do with healthy habits. Christian habits, healthy habits, generosity. So I was thinking, if I can start with an illustration, I was thinking that your phone is ringing. Is your phone ringing? Someone's phone is ringing? No? So can you imagine your phone is ringing? And when you look at your phone, then it says that the message is coming or the call is coming from the most powerful institution in the world. Do you know which one is the most powerful institution, institutionally speaking, in the world? The White House. Yeah, I mean, United States is the number one country in the world. You know that. And then the most powerful institution within your country is there, is the White House. So can you imagine your phone is ringing and the guy who is running, the guy or the lady who is running the White House is saying, when you answer, it says, hey, how are you? Good. Can I have tea with you this afternoon? You know, just come and hang out with me. And you're thinking, who, me? I guess the number is wrong. No, and he's like, no, yes, it's you. I want to have some time with you, you know, have tea with you, talk with you, spend some time with you. And then here you are there sitting, no, you're here sitting in the White House and having that experience. I was there once. I went to tour the White House tour. It's like you're like literally looking, and it's an experience, an awesome experience, you know. And then after tea, this guy just look at you and say, and by the way, can we be co-workers? You know, I want to do amazing things in the United States. I want to do amazing things around the world, being the most powerful institution. But I guess I cannot do it, and not because I cannot do it, but because I really want to do it with you, you know, and to co-work with you, and to partner with you, and to make it happen with you. And here you're thinking, wow, what an experience. What an experience being here with the guy who is running the most powerful institution, and what an experience. He is inviting me to be his co-worker to do amazing things around the world. And you leave that place thinking, wow, that was something. No? And here your phone is ringing again. But now it's not the White House. It's the God of all creation who is calling. You know, he's calling you, and he's calling you because he has two main objectives. And the first one he is because he wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He wants it to be an experience. So Christianity, Christian life, accepting Jesus and walking with Jesus should be an experience. More than checking the box every Sunday or checking the box for extravaganza, you know, it's like, oh, we need to show up, otherwise Pastor Steve will be calling if we don't go, you know, we have to check. More than that, he wants it to be an experience where you can, who, me? Yes, you. You know, the God of all creation, the God of this universe, the God of all gods and kings and lords and, you know, the real guy, he wants to have a personal relationship with you. and he wants it to be an experience. And I think that's when Christianity, really, Christian life becomes awesome. Otherwise, I think it can be very boring. You know, it's like, oh, I need to check the box. You know, I need to go and stand up, please. We are going to worship. Oh, yes, I'm standing. Don't worry. You know, it's more than that. It has to be something that I'm living, I'm feeling, I'm sensing, something that is boiling my blood, that it's stirring me, that it's passionate, it's awesome to understand that the God, our God, wants to have the personal relationship. He's calling someone now. wants to have a personal relationship with you. So make it an experience. Then the second part, remember, was after tea. Now he's saying, can we be co-worker? Can we work together? No, understanding that he is inviting us. And I usually say, it's not that, I mean, he's God. He doesn't need me. But again, he is saying, yes, but now I want to do whatever I'm doing in Nicaragua through La Roca Church, or whatever I'm doing in Virginia Beach through Essential Church and the ministries that you're supporting, or whatever I'm going to do in your wife's life, in your husband's life, in your children's life, at work, in Sunday school, wherever God has you, whatever he is going to do, the second component, he is saying, I want to do it with you. I want it to be an experience for you. And that's where I think this journey called life becomes awesome. As we're passing by, understanding, wow, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever we're going to live, just make it awesome by being his co-workers. By being his hands and his feet to change the life of your family, your neighbors, your friends, and children in Nicaragua as well. How awesome is that? But my point is, let it be an experience. As I was thinking on Hobbit, your series, I was thinking, just make that 15 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes habit of having tea with God. You know, just sit with him and say, Lord, yes, I want to experience you. I don't want this to be like, oh, yeah, I need to go to church. My great-grandparents used to do so. My grandparents did it. My fathers did it. Now I need to do it, and my children will do it. And it's like, no, let it be an experience where every morning, every noon, or whenever you think is the best time, you're sitting and saying, yes, God, I want to know you. I want to have that personal relationship with you. And make that a habit. You know why? Because then you will enjoy Christianity. Because then is when you will enjoy life. That's when life makes sense. That's when abundant life, when Jesus said he came so that we may have abundant life, that when it makes sense, that when it comes to reality, abundant life. And then work with him to change the life of the people. Whoever lives, again, in Nicaragua, great, but maybe it's your neighbor as well. Maybe it's at your workplace, somewhere, wherever he is working. So from that perspective, I was reading Hebrew, the book of Hebrew, chapter 11. And as you know, I'm sure you know what Hebrew 11 talks about. Do you know? Faith, yeah, I know you knew. I know you're Christian, so I know you have been reading your Bible, and you know. I'm kidding. Hebrew 11. Hebrew 11 talks about faith. And I know you have heard so many messages, you know, and teaching on faith when it comes to Hebrew 11. But this morning, there is something that the Lord is telling me, and I'm enjoying, really enjoying this week especially. God is saying, yes, behind all the faith thing that is there that is awesome and it's great and that we should develop, God is saying there are experiences. So if we take let's take Noah. So here is this guy, Noah, living in an area where human being would say, there is no way this place is going to flood. It can rain 1,000 years, it's not going to flood. Here, no way. So obviously, in midst of that situation, God is calling Noah. Why? One, because he has a personal relationship with Noah. That's what he wants. And then he is remember, co-workers. So here, I guess God is, you know, this is our business, executive business meeting, Noah. This is the blueprint for the ark. This is the way you're going to build it. So they're having that 15 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, whatever, of executive meeting, knowing each other, sharing with each other, and making it an experience. So that's the first component of the experience. But then the second component, can you imagine this guy looking at this? Did I build this? Wow! Huge ark. And suddenly God is saying, okay, Noah, it's time. Get in there, buddy. Okay, my wife, my kids, my daughter-in-laws, my two-by-two, you know, the animals. And suddenly the ark is floating because it is flooding. It has been flooded. You know, for the last week it has been raining so much. Can you just close your eyes and experience that amazing moment? God, Noah, ark, water, floating, rain. It's an experience. And to know in midst of that, two things. One, God is saving him and his family. And two, having a personal relationship with him. But three, using him to make a difference in the life of these people, but also in the life of the animals. So when I look at Hebrew now, beside faith, I'm looking at experiencing Christianity, making it awesome, making that journey of my work, my ministry, my job, but also the journey called life, making it awesome. And that's only possible if we're experiencing God and having a personal relationship with him and then working with him. Take Abraham. I mean, my wife and I, we were married for 14 years, just trying to have baby. We did everything except for in vitro. It was too expensive. We couldn't do it. So we didn't have a baby. For 14 years, we just gave up. And 2 months after, she was pregnant. So, I mean, I can imagine hitting, reaching 100 without baby. Oh, that's supposed to be tough. I went far as 14, and it was tough. So here is Abraham and Sarah thinking, oh man, this is tough. But remember, one, he has a personal relationship with Jesus, with God, with the Lord. And two, now they're sitting and talking and God is saying, hey buddy, are you 99? Yeah, yes, God, I'm almost 100. Great. Oh, you're going to have a baby. Don't be, you know, God, you have to be serious, God. 99 years, God. And he's, yes, I'm going to. That experience, again, experiencing that, a boy, a baby, a boy, especially at that time, a boy, wow, who, me? Yes, you. Sarah was laughing. Who, me? No, that's not possible. But then having that experience. So beside faith in Hebrew 11, I can find experience. Can you imagine Gideon? Gideon, God is saying, okay, come, you're going to fight these guys. You know, and he's like, great, I have 30,000 people to fight with. And God is saying, no, it's only 300. You only need 300. Come on, God, you are probably kidding. No, it's only 300. And with 300, we're going to do an amazing thing. And can you imagine Gideon winning the war with 300 only and experiencing that? And you can go through the Bible, you know. Person by person by person. One thing I find there is, one, God really wants you and really wants me to experience Christianity, to experience a life with him, to make it real, to feel it, live it, taste it, sense it, rather than only, oh, I need to go and warm up my chair on Sunday. By the way, it's the same chair, at the same place, at the same service, at the same time. It's more than that. It has to be more than that, so it will then become relevant, and then you will say, "Wow, this journey called life, oh man, this is awesome." But then the first component is going to take us out of that and put us into eternity with Jesus forever and ever, and it's going to be even better. That's Christianity. So what if we can make that habit of saying, yes, God, I want to experience you. As I open my eyes in the morning, your mercies are new every morning. What an experience. He didn't say it was going to be easy, so it's not. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm saying in midst of all of that situation, what if we can experience like Gideon, like Noah, like Moses, like Adam and Eve? Remember what Genesis 3 says? God showed up. Where are you, Adam? It's time for tea. Oh, God. You know where he was? Hiding. But I'm sure God used to show up. I'm sure that was the habit, a good habit of God showing up and we and Adam and Eve sitting and having a wonderful time with him. His intention is that you may have a personal relationship with him on earth, that it may be an experience, that it may be a reality, that it may guide you into abundant life on earth, so you may experience a piece of heaven on earth, and that may take you into eternity with Jesus forever and ever. And that's when it becomes awesome. And two, he really wants us to make a difference in this world. He wanted Noah to make a difference. We're still talking about him. He wanted Moses to make a difference. Can you imagine the experience Moses had? Experience. Here is Moses taking care of the sheep and all that he was taking. And suddenly God came and said, hey, buddy, again, remember, I want a personal relationship with you, but at the same time, I want to co-work with you. Would you be willing? Oh, no, God, I can't even speak. And after a great negotiation, okay, great, let's do it. Now, I can imagine Moses showing up the most powerful institution at that time was Pharaoh. And he's showing up here on behalf of God and saying, just let my people go and worship me. And all that they went through, you know that. All that they went through. But the experience, if you can just close your eye for a moment, eyes, and just experience, you know, here you are in front of the Red Sea. Moses, Pharaoh and his army is coming. Oh, man, we're done. You know, and suddenly, again, Moses has a personal relationship with God. Okay, God, what's the blueprint now? What's the plan? What's the strategy? You know, and suddenly, okay, the sea is splitting into two. There is a path that we're going to walk through. Can you imagine that experience? Experiencing God, you know. You are using me to make a path for these people. It's an experience. It has to be an experience. You know, and these people walking across the Red Sea. And again, as I said, God didn't say it's going to be easy. But I can imagine it was tough for Moses. You know it was tough. And there was a moment when God would say, okay, Moses, this is the way I picture it when I read my Bible, so that's why I describe it this way. It's like God saying, okay, Moses, great, I know it's tough, I know you're stressed. I know it's been tough. So come up to the mountain. Let's have some tea time. So Moses went up to the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights. By the way, here is the next blueprint, the Ten Commandments. But the experience of experiencing, I'm redundant, God, the experience of having that personal relationship with God, the experience of talking with him and listening to him and receiving the blueprint for the experience of creating a path for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for the experience is what makes it awesome. The experience is what fired us up and say, yes, it's worth it. Let's continue. It's awesome to be Christian. There is no way I want to go back to the world. And I'm not saying that we want to be perfect or we're going to be perfect. We want to, but we're not going to. It's not easy. But the experience of walking with the Lord day after day after day and experiencing him and experiencing what he's doing within us through that habit of prayer, of worship, of reading his word, of baptism, of giving, of tithing, of offering, of serving others, of visiting neighbors, of preaching the gospel. The experience of doing all of that and just experiencing God once and again and again and again. I think that makes it awesome. And two, making a difference in the life of others. And that's where, as Orphan Network, together, you and Orphan Network, you are Orphan Network, together we have been changing the life of children in Nicaragua. You are serving almost 300 children through La Roca, providing a nourishing meal for those kids every day of the week, providing health care, dental care, after-school program, school supplies, providing all of this that would then lead these kids into breaking the cycles of poverty. 20 years ago, we started Orphan Network. 10 years ago, we did a big reengineering. God guided us. He gave us the blueprint, I would say. All the glory to God. He gave us a blueprint and said, wipe out malnutrition, add after-school program, do job training. The kids will break the cycles of poverty. And we were dreaming with that. And we were presenting that to our investors, churches, friends in the States and saying, we want to wipe out malnutrition, we want to add after-school program, we want to create jobs, we want to guide the kids into jobs, and we will break the cycles of poverty. 10 years after, in 2015, by the way, we got two jobs, and I know it's like someone said, two, Eddie, two, come on. Two jobs, we celebrated that. We were happy. 2016, we got 17 jobs. 17 kids out of the garbage dump, out of community of abject poverty, got jobs. 2017, we had 42 kids got jobs. This year, we're shooting for 117. I am pretty sure it's going to be a little more. Ending poverty in the life of these children, making a difference, taking these kids out of Egypt, bringing them into the promised land, and bringing Jesus to those kids. When you go to Exodus, by the way, when God called Moses, remember when God called Moses, it says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptian slavery, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and large land. And then it says, now, behold, the cry of the children of Israel. And it talk about cry. It talk about affliction. It talk about slavery. It talk about abuse. It talk about, that's what these people were experiencing. And remember, Moses having a relationship and a talk with God, creating that habit, God is saying, now, therefore, now I am going to use you to take these kids out of that situation. That's exactly what God is doing through you in Nicaragua. Kids in affliction, in poverty, hopeless, in slavery, in sexual abuse, physical abuse, kids with no education. These kids' lives have been changed because of what you are doing. Feel it, live it, experience it. And just be happy to know that the God of all creation is not only having tea with you, create that habit, but secondly, he is working through you. Every time you're giving to your church, and your church is giving to those kids in Nicaragua, you are making a difference in the life of those children. You are taking kids out of poverty. And you know, you may not, I have said this many times, you may not meet a lot of those kids, but one day you will see them in heaven. And when you get there, I'm pretty sure, and if not, I'll orchestrate everything so it happened in heaven. I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure when you get there, the kids are going to look at you and say, wow, that journey that I just went through called life, that was, at the beginning it was a little tough, but then it became awesome because you were sending down a check or sending your support. And it became so awesome that I experienced a piece of heaven in Nicaragua, in Jinotepe, through La Roca Church. I experienced a piece of heaven, and that was awesome. You know, and that guy, that led me into say, oh, I want full heaven, so I went to Jesus. And today it's full heaven with Jesus here, so thank you so much. They're going to look at you straight in your eye and say, thank you so much for creating that piece of heaven in Jinotepe. And creating, by doing so, creating the path into Jesus. By lifting Jesus, those kids will see Jesus and go to Jesus, and their life then will not only be different on earth, but it will be different forever and ever because of what you are doing. And that's awesome. And that has to be the second experience. So the first is you and Jesus, you and the Lord, and create that habit of 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of, God, here I am, please show up. You know, I need to talk to you. I need a blueprint for my husband. I just can't bear. Oh. I need a blueprint for my wife, for my kid, for algebra. I need a blueprint for algebra, God. I just can't work this out. You know, it's make that a habit. And second, just say, Lord, just help me to be your co-worker, to make a difference in Virginia Beach, in Nicaragua, and wherever you want me to make a difference. And I can assure you, Christianity is going to be a lot more awesome than if you're not doing those two things. Personal relationship with Jesus, serving, worshiping, praying, reading, and making a difference in the life of our children in Nicaragua, here, elsewhere. You're going to start Celebrate Recovery. It's a program we're doing in Nicaragua through one of our church partner. And it's awesome to see, you know, kids in drugs, even in prostitution, and to see what God is doing in their life through Minor. Minor is the leader of this program in Puerto Cabezas. That's where I was born. You know, and all that is happening in Puerto Cabezas because of Celebrate Recovery. It's awesome. Packing rice, as Pastor Steve said, you know, packing rice with Rise Against Hunger. We received 10 containers with Rise Against Hunger, from Rise Against Hunger, and we received 10 from Feed My Starving Children out of Minnesota. 20 containers, 40-foot containers, every year serving 20,000 children. And our dream is that we would grow those numbers of kids finding job, receiving the training, finding job, and taking their family out of poverty, experiencing that peace of heaven and earth. And it's going to be awesome. It's awesome already. And I can imagine what God is going to continue to do, and to know that humbly he is giving me, you, us, the opportunity to be his hands and his feet. How awesome. So as your phone is ringing, answer, please. It's not the White House. It's the God of all creation. You know, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he is calling you because he wants to have a personal relationship with you, and he wants to make a difference in this world through you. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for what you are doing in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for bringing us back into that personal relationship with the Father, by giving your life for our sins. We thank you for rescuing us, Lord, and that we may enjoy a piece of heaven and earth every day here on earth with you, God, and that you may use us to make a difference in the life of someone every day. And when that ends, God, that we may just celebrate with you forever and ever in heaven, God. Please help us. We need you. We need you. Please fill our life. Please strengthen us. Please help us to create that habit of having a personal relationship with you by reading your word, worshiping, praying, serving, giving. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. We love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.